Going to be chatting to Eli Piep. She's on the line, Director of International Affairs for Israel Defense and Security Forum. We're going to be talking about the Iran-Israel war. Is the war over? And can we trust Hezbollah or Iran not to strike again? And at that point, let me just remind you of the Henry Kissinger quote. Apparently in 1968, he was reported to have said, "To be an enemy of America can be dangerous, but to be a friend is fatal." Wow. What a statement. Eli Piep, great to have you with us on Chai FM. What do you think about Henry Kissinger's statement in 1968? To be a friend can be dangerous, but to be a friend is fatal.
It is a pleasure to be on today. And yes, that is a line that Israelis have been thinking about and have been rehashing over the last 2 hours since the announcement of an agreement being agreed upon, but I think one of the things that I caution mm-hmm. as we are waiting, I think you have an agreement that's announced, but it's only going to be signed in 5 days. That's a huge amount of time, and I think that already what the U.S. is saying, what Iran is saying, don't exactly add up on significant issues. Basically, when it comes to the Strait of Hormuz. The President Trump is saying it's open, it's going to be free and clear. Iran is saying, no, we're going to be charging for it. That does not seem to have been bridged yet. Details about the nuclear program also seem like there's still many, many gray areas on that. When Iran might be getting released funding. The President Trump always has an eye towards showmanship and dates, and obviously yesterday was his 80th birthday, a significant birth date, and he had a huge party on the White House lawn. Mm-hmm. And you could almost imagine that there was such a desire to come to a deal, even if the deal might unravel in the coming days. And we'll see what ends up happening over the next little bit.
And it seems to me, I'm not even sure where I'm picking this up from, but the way he appears to talk about Bibi Netanyahu seems to be with some element of disdain. There seems to have been expletives that I haven't seen used at that level in discussions that I wouldn't have expected to have seen. Is there kind of an irreparable break between the two men?
You know, I think we had a similar conversation about a week or two ago. And at the same time, when the president expressed, spoken very harsh terms towards the prime minister, also expressed a desire to keep Israel safe and work with the prime minister, he can say two things. And I think that's always been the key with President Trump. You know, this is really one of the first wars. I mean, there have been wars in the past, but historically, there was never an expectation that we would be getting minute-by-minute updates on wars. There always is a term called the fog of war, where things aren't quite clear. And sometimes that is by design, and sometimes that is just by the reality or the nature of war. And I think right now, as we're living in such a time of social media, where the expectation of immediately and instantly knowing exactly what is happening, but that's not even enough. It's about knowing what is about to happen. What's going to happen? We need to know. There was, Israel attacked yesterday in Lebanon.
Yes.
And then we're now supposed to know, what does that mean? Is Iran going to attack back? Is the U.S. going to stop Israel? These are the kinds of expectations which are not reasonable, but that's become now what the expectation. And it leads to misalignment. And I think in the case of how Israel is now facing, and certainly there are challenges right now, or at least initially there are challenges. Israel, what Prime Minister Netanyahu has demonstrated, and if it ends up turning out that Prime Minister Netanyahu attacked in the Dahiya district of Beirut,
yes.
An area that seemed like the Americans had said, Israel, don't do. He says, you can attack if you are threatened. But and now the president, I think that's what his expletive was aimed towards, that Netanyahu is can't be restrained and he's too reckless. It's interesting because the narrative against the prime minister in Israel has been that he is a puppet of President Trump. That is what all of his political opponents have been expressing, that Prime Minister Netanyahu is a puppet. He's handed over sovereignty, images of him sort of like being almost like a hostage to Trump.
Yeah.
And now he has resisted that. He has attacked in the Dahia what in Israel is seen as a very relatively limited strike, a strike where even Marco Rubio and Pete Hegseth have said that they saw that Prime Minister Netanyahu was restrained despite Hezbollah's consistent attacks. And I think that over the course of the coming days, what Israel felt was absolutely necessary for its independence, for its security, and even, and they've always said, even if it means going against the U.S., is that it needs to, you know, make sure that Iran doesn't have a nuclear weapon. Some of the expressions, some of the discussions of what this agreement is like do not seem like that they are coming to Israel's threshold. And the second thing was that Israel needed to keep a separation between Iran and Hezbollah, because Israel needed to destroy Hezbollah.
Yes.
And by Iran asserting that they needed to keep Hezbollah as part of the agreement, that was a clear attempt by Iran to connect Hezbollah with Iran. And Israel was very clearly saying, we're not going to accept that, even if it means potentially risking an overall ceasefire agreement between the U.S. And Iran. And that's something that now I think needs to be seen. Initially, the first reports of the first assessment is that this seems like Israel has created trouble. I think actually what we're going to see is that Israel is in the region, in the Gulf, in this region of the world. I think there is going to be more respect that Israel is even willing to resist the U.S. when it's seen it's not in our favor. And we'll see ultimately what ends up happening, whether this deal comes together, which I don't have. I don't have 100% confidence that it will get signed on the 19th. It may, just because what's happening between now and the 19th is the G7 meeting, where President Trump is meeting with a bunch of world leaders, including many from Europe, who very much want the agreement. But then also the MOU is reported to include a 60-day time period where there's going to be more negotiations. The likelihood that that will continue to its end, I think, is not likely.
I think it was this morning in the Times of Israel, an article talking about the state of the city of Mutula in northern Israel. It's actually on the Lebanese border. And it was quite a depressing article talking about a city that's really struggling, that has been struggling for a very long time. I suppose that's not surprising, given that Hezbollah is over on the other side of the border with 150,000 missiles aimed at the north. And at the end of the day, Hezbollah is not a signatory to this agreement. At the end of the day, I suppose Israel also isn't a signatory to this agreement. You told me that it was unrealistic to expect to ask questions about that particular front and get answers, but I can't help but ask the question. Is the ceasefire going to hold on that front?
I don't think so. From an Israeli perspective, what happens in Iran is less threatening than on the border with Lebanon. The sense in Israel is that Israel is significantly degrading Hezbollah, almost to the point that Hezbollah could be threatened by the Lebanese army and the Lebanese military, and the Lebanese government. That's a threshold that Iran is desperate to avoid. But I can imagine that if I'm President Trump and if I'm the White House, I've been hearing that we're close for a while. It doesn't seem to be happening. Let's give up on that. President Trump wanted to expand the Abraham Accords to Lebanon. That would be huge. Israel doesn't have the ability to give up on that. Israel needs to make it happen. And I think ultimately it will continue. Israel will continue. Israel is not going to leave Lebanon, I think, anytime soon. Israel might restrain itself temporarily. Israel does not want to be perceived as the actor that ended this. Israel doesn't want to see it to be in any way seen as harming the Americans or the President Trump's narrative. But Israel also is going to continue to be striking in Lebanon. And I would also imagine we may go back to a situation where before October 7th, there was consistent buildings and factories that were blowing up in Iran, and there was apparently no explanation. I think we all know that there is an explanation. Yeah. And we may just go back to no longer announcing what is being done, but just doing what needs to be done. Clearly, Israel has the operational abilities, has the intelligence knows only more than what we did before October 7th, the likelihood that Israel is going to stop doing things, and maybe if there's that tension different ways, that might be beneficial. But I think when it comes to Lebanon, Israel might do it a little bit more quietly and maybe not announcing as much. But I think you will still see, there will still be images of buildings blowing up and people on motorcycles getting shot out of the air by drones.
Explain a piece of the puzzle that's just not making sense for me. It's not fitting. Yeah. Why is it that the Iranians have not conditioned the ceasefire upon Israel's withdrawal from southern Lebanon?
So they're trying to. But ultimately, Iran needs the ceasefire. For President Trump could use it politically. Yeah, yeah. They need it for their survival. They know how much they need money. They know how much they need it. And Israel is not going to allow them to do it. It's entirely possible. I don't think it's likely. It's entirely possible there could be a good guy, bad guy cop where President Trump is good guy and Israel is going to be the bad guy. It's not a great role for Israel to be playing. But ultimately, Israel needs to make it clear to the international community, to its to its neighbors in the region, that Israel sees this agreement potentially as an existential threat, and Israel do whatever it needs to do in order to protect itself. It should be seen as something that is beneficial to the free world. But if that's not short term, there may be more consequences because it may mean that the conflict is expanded for a little bit longer. Israel's hope is that by expanding the conflict a little bit longer, it will prevent the conflict from being expanded for many, many years to come. So weeks, months are okay. Years are not okay.
Eli Piepsch, Director of International Affairs for Israel Defense and Security Forum. As always, thank you so much for your contribution here on Chai FM this afternoon.